This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The one thing nobody's talking about when it comes to Shador Sanders. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're back together again after Perloff was away for the week. And unfortunately, we're not in the same studio. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm here holding it down in the New Jersey studios. Perloff, though, back at headquarters in New York. And Perl, welcome back. Is that a tan I see? A little?
Oh, no. I was in full protective gear in Costa Rica in the sunny beaches of Costa Rica. Everybody was getting burned, and I was the one on vacation bragging, hey, I didn't get burned at all today when we were doing this outdoor activity. That's how lame I am right now.
Well, I mean, listen, stay safe. We're excited to hear more about your vacation because I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about some of the things that we had to say last week and some things you vehemently disagree with. But first, we got to get into Shador Sanders because, you know, listen, it's not really news anymore when the top quarterbacks don't want to work out at the combine. And the combine's going to start this week, the scouting combine in Indianapolis. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter to me anymore. You know, we've seen a lot of guys who have been really, really good in this league who have not gone through the like pomp and circumstance of the underwear Olympics. But can I tell you one thing I am a little concerned about for Shador Sanders? It has nothing to do with his rap career or the cars or the watches or even being Deion's son. It's some of the actual football scouting that's coming out about Shador. And let me tell you what I mean. And Alex, let's play a little from Greg Cosell. So Greg Cosell is one of the great talent evaluators that we have in football. Not a hot taker, not doing it for the headlines, not doing it for the clicks. He's not a mock draft guy. He's just going purely Perloff off of skill and off of talent. So let's hear a little of Greg Cosell, who was on the Ross Tucker podcast. And here, first, let's set it up about some of the things that Shador is going to have to work on when he gets to the NFL. Play cut one.
And he was under a lot of pressure. There were a lot of plays where he had no chance, zero chance. But what he does have a tendency to do, and this also has to be cleaned up, is retreat backwards. And you know this is an offensive lineman. You can't retreat backwards in the NFL.
Okay, so that's number one. First, he also said that Shador's not that big, guys. So, you know, we're going to see what his measurables are at the combine. That will come out. But he's not this big, huge, 6'5" quarterback. Nothing like that. He also says, Greg Cosell, again, this is the talent evaluator, says Shador is not going to be someone who necessarily...
You're talking about a shorter quarterback who's a pocket player. So to me, he's a ball distributor and an executor of an offense. He needs the system to work for him. He needs a run game. He needs a good O-line. He's a piece. He's a piece of an offense.
Can we hear from Greg Cosell?
We might be having some technical difficulties.
Can you guys hear me?
I hear you. We're figuring this out. Maggie's in the home studio. Greg Cosell was just saying that Shador Sanders, something about structure and the way Greg Cosell always says the word structure. So, Maggie, let's get to the bottom line here. Okay, I watched Shador Sanders at Colorado, and Greg Cosell's a tape expert, but that guy's a baller. Like, what? Are you kidding me? He was getting killed, and he was still making plays with Colorado all the time. And he's saying he's not good under pressure. That guy faced so much more pressure than anyone under college. Wouldn't that make him battle-tested for the NFL?
Well, not according to Greg, because apparently he's going backwards way too much. And I also thought Greg had an interesting comp pearl off for Shador Sanders.
Okay.
And if we're talking about a guy who's being drafted maybe as high as 2 to the Cleveland Browns, or 3 to the New York Giants, or high like that, let's hear another clip from Greg. And this is the comp he has for Shador Sanders at the NFL level.
You know, the player, I've talked to some scouts. The name that often comes up as a comparison for him is Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is a little bit bigger with a better overall arm, but he's probably that kind of quarterback.
Okay, well, let's remember what happened at the draft famously with Geno Smith. Famously, Geno Smith dropped out of the first round in a quarterback draft that was really light. That this was not a gangbusters draft where Geno Smith all of a sudden got pushed down because there was so much talent. In fact, it was kind of embarrassing for Geno. He ends up getting taken by the Jets in the top of the second round. And Geno, for some circumstances that are his fault, some are not, he ended up becoming a real late bloomer. But if you took Geno Smith with the 3rd overall pick or the 4th overall pick, he'd probably go down in history as one of the all-time busts. So I guess here's my thing about Shador. Mm-hmm. I would caution a little. Just because he's going to possibly get taken very high in this draft doesn't mean that he's going to come in and be a difference maker like we saw Jaden Daniels last year or CJ Stroud the year before. He's not coming in with that kind of profile at all. So this is where I think we have to start talking about Shador maybe a little bit more realistically. Yeah, he's a baller. Okay, you liked it. Good. But for him to be at the top of this draft, he might just be the circumstances and might not be because of what he's actually putting on tape.
Wait a second. First of all, you say CJ Stroud, like it was obvious that CJ Stroud was going to be a hit. And all the things you're saying about, I mean, everybody had negative takes on CJ Stroud, saying he was completely a system quarterback at Ohio State. No one knew CJ Stroud was going to be the guy to hit over Bryce Young. And maybe someone did, but it was not a common take. So you say that now like everyone knew. Geno Smith is, I understand, Greg Cosell looks at tape and he's saying the tape is there. But first of all, personality-wise, they're exact opposites, 180-degree opposites. Second of all, Geno Smith was at West Virginia with Dana Holgorsen. That guy never even sniffed a pro style off. Like, he had no idea what an NFL offense looked like. Shador has been basically, I assume, running an NFL offense because he has like 20 NFL coaches, Pat Shermer and all those guys. Shador is old. He's experienced. He has been battle-tested. Like, no, Geno, all Geno had to do was go back and throw to 7 wide-open receivers every time he dropped back in college. He had no idea what the NFL was about, so I don't get that analogy at all. I think Shador is going to be ready to go, and I think the stuff with Colorado makes him even better. You got to put the way he played in context, too. Yeah, he was dropping back, but if Shador didn't make plays for that Colorado offense, like, what was going to happen? They couldn't run the ball, and they were playing usually better teams in the last 2 years. He had to make all those plays. So Greg saying that he backed up and got killed, like, I don't totally understand that because I saw him make a lot of plays in tough situations, especially that 2 years ago when the line was just awful. I don't know. I feel like bad teams might be attracted to that, be like, whoa, he kind of made something out of nothing here, and we got a bad offensive line. Maybe Shador can help us look okay.
Yeah, I think that the Big 12 defenses, and I know it's not like what we had, you know, 10 years ago, and the defense have gotten a little bit better in the Big 12, but it's not like that's gangbusters.
Yeah, but
you know what
I'm
saying?
And look at Cam Ward in the ACC. I mean, that's an absolute joke. I mean, the ACC basketball is better defense. Miami, Cam Ward would drop back, throw the ball 8 yards, and everyone would run free every game. So I don't think that. I don't think that that's true anymore, the Big 12 versus other conferences. Sorry,
well,
go ahead.
I'm just saying that Big 12 defenses are not NFL defenses. And the other part is that Shador is most likely going to be going where? To a team that I bet's not going to have a great offensive line, especially if it's someone like the Giants, or if you want to say, what, the Browns are, I think, losing a lot of guys on the offensive line. Like, this is the way the draft is set up. He's not walking into a great team.
Right.
Especially the higher he goes, the worse the team's going to be. And he doesn't move around. See, the one thing that Cam Ward has, and not to just make it a comp against these two guys, but Cam Ward has a few more traits that could help him out early in his career, like his ability to move around a little bit more than Shador and other things like that. But if we're just sticking on Shador, and we'd love to hear from you at 855-212-4227. And, you know, I think it's possible that Shador ends up being a bust.
Well, I didn't
First
think it's
of
possible.
All, it's possible that anybody becomes a bust, but I don't think that we're talking about that at all with some of the traits that he has and how that can be a really difficult transition into the NFL. And let's put on top of it one more thing. If Shador ends up going to, or really doesn't matter, but let's say it's New York, let's say it's Vegas, let's say it's the Jets, so either the Giants or the Jets, whatever it's going to be, this is not a place where you can develop quietly. You know, if you go to the Tennessee Titans, you might not have people breathing down your neck after game five, you know, that you, like, when are you going to finally show up? When are you going to produce? There's certain markets, Pearl, you know it, I know it, that get a lot more antsy. You have owners that could be really, you know, trigger happy, feeling pressure. You know, there are a couple spots where if Shador lands in the wrong situation, this could be really, really difficult for him. And I don't know what Deion does then, because if they say they love that he goes to the Giants, so they want him to go to the Raiders or what have you, and he struggles, well, what's Deion going to say?
Well, I don't understand. Like, Will Levis was in Tennessee, and he was a national punchline, and like that was as hidden as you could be. New York Giants, like, who cares about the New York Giants outside of New York? I feel like they're 1 o'clock every game. I think he could hide there a little bit. And the Raiders, the Raiders are high profile, but the bar is so low there. I think all these spots, and wait, back to one thing you said, like, you're saying the offensive lines are bad on these teams. So are they supposed to never draft a quarterback? Or does he have to be super mobile? Like, at a certain point, you have to bite the bullet and take a quarterback, even if your offensive line is bad. Because otherwise, the Giants are probably never going to draft a quarterback and have Tommy Cutlets for the rest of time. Like, you can't wait for the offensive line to be good here. I just feel like at some point, you have to take this leap of faith if you're a bad franchise. And yeah, of course there's a bustability with Shador Sanders, but that's true with every quarterback. I think that everything you said is valid. Yes, of course he could be a bust, but it's, you know, he has a lot of traits that could work out. And I think all these teams, Cleveland, Tennessee, Giants, Raiders, like, if you squint, you could definitely make Shador Sanders work, because he's old like Jaden Daniels. He has a lot of experience. I think, of course he could be a bust, but this is, the risk there is a little less than some guys. I mean, he's not coming out of nowhere. So
yeah.
I feel like this is a safe risk to some extent, Maggie.
I think if you're comparing him to Jaden Daniels, you're doing him a really big disservice. Jaden Daniels turned in one of the all-time great statistical seasons in college football, won the Heisman, and was like, you know, this was like turnkey for him to go into the NFL. I don't think Shador is going to have that same experience. And I mean, they won nine games at Colorado. It's a great improvement. It definitely was a great story.
Yeah.
It still is a good story. But for some of these specific things, you're saying, like, should a bad team never draft a quarterback because they have a bad line? Well, maybe not a short one who's going backwards, who, you know, might specifically struggle in that area.
Wait, but first of all, forget Jaden Daniels. What about Bo Nix was good? Penix looked good in his short time. McCarthy was probably going to be good. You know, there are a lot. I'm not sure that quarterbacks are busting as much as they used to. And we didn't know about, you know, we had no idea Jaden was going to be this good either. I mean, I picked him for Rookie of the Year. I thought he was going to be good.
Yeah.
But one thing I did like about Washington, they put him with an old, experienced coach in Dan Quinn and a good offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury. Like, a team as bad as the Raiders, they have a Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly combo, and the Giants have Brian Daboll. And there is, again, like, nothing's ever going to be perfect. I think at a certain point, you have to take the risk that this guy, I know this guy could be a bust, but we got to take a quarterback anyway, Maggie. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, who cares what happens to him? We got to take a quarterback. Let's hit the phones, Pearl, early and often here. How about our pal Jay in Nashville? If you want to weigh in on Shedeur Sanders, 855-212-4227. Jay, you there, pal?
Hey, good morning, y'all. I had to wake up to this foolishness. Who's this guy? Cosell? Is this Howard Cosell's son or something?
I don't think he's Howard's son, but he's a very respected
nephew.
Draft analyst. Oh, it's his nephew.
Yeah, okay.
Man, they always call these guys draft experts. Every year, they don't know what they're talking about. It's like, this person's going to be drafted here, he's going to draft there, and this, that, and the other. And he's got tiny little hands, so he's not going to be a good quarterback and all that different type of stuff. Most of them don't even know what they're talking about. They go with the negative because, like you said, Maggie, most of them, all these guys, I hate it when they go, I want to go be drafted first. Oh, yeah, okay, be my guest because you're going to go to a sorry team that can't protect you. You're better off going low in the draft. And the thing, like you said, Maggie, most of them are going to be a bust because they're going to bad teams.
Yeah.
So it's like these draft experts come up with all this negative stuff so they can be like, I told you so. It's like, dude, come on, man. You already know the odds are favored for any of these quarterbacks to be a bust. So it's like, shut up with that foolishness. But as far as Shedeur, I think people need to, I think people need to learn the lessons. Don't bet against these Sanders. They bet against them all the time, every level, and they still prove everybody wrong. So it's like, when is everybody going to learn their lesson? To just shut up and sit back and let things crumble where they may.
Wait, who bet against Dion?
Well, in Colorado.
You guys.
I did.
Oh, as a coach, but not as a player. Not as a player.
No, as a coach, I'm saying that we've been dealing with this the past, 3-4 years. They're going to be a bust, this, that, and the other. And it's like the negativity towards Dion, his sons, both his sons, and their ability to do this, that, the other. And they prove these people, these naysayers, wrong every time. It's in that kid's blood. It's in his dad's blood. It's kind of like, leave it alone. Really, I hope he goes low in the draft. You know, and that's the one thing I hear Dion talking about. We're not going to go 6. You know, for him to go 6 would be the best spot. Because he got Tom Brady, who is his mentor right there with the Raiders. And I'm sure they're going to make the right choices to put people around him. But, I mean, we're even saying this, and they're talking about he's not mobile. It's like, dude, we're saying the same thing about that kid out of Ohio State that's playing at Houston right now. We didn't know he was mobile, but Shedeur really is mobile. He's mentored by Tom Brady. He chooses not to use his wheels that much because he's really trying to – remember I used to live in Alabama, and we were dealing with this with Bryce Young. Everybody's like, how come he doesn't run? He doesn't want to run, you know what I mean? And he can run, it's just he chose not to. And I think that's the same thing with Shedeur.
You know, Jay, here's the thing about that, and you're making a good point. First of all, I don't think that Greg Cosell really is a hot taker. He's not Howard Cosell. He's totally different. He actually said the second best quarter in this draft is Tyler Shaw, the guy from where'd he play, Pearl? Texas Tech, yeah. And so he has Cam Ward, and then Shador's actually third. So I think he is trying to be, hey, just what the tape tells me. And Jay, thanks for the call, dude. Good to hear from you. The one thing is, we also can't get blinded by the last name. Okay? So it's not about being overly negative about Shedeur or doubting the Sanders family or anything. But also, let's look at the tape. You know, he has things that have to get cleaned up at the NFL level. Listen, they all do. The question is, does he have the physical, not to say tools, because he's got a good arm. But if he's short and if he's going shorter than we think and he's going backwards, Perloff, that's just, that's not doubting the Sanders family. That's just a reality of what he could be facing in the NFL.
I spent a lot of time with Greg in New Orleans at the Super Bowl, ironically, on the weekend. You know, Tyler Shuck is 37 years old, so I don't even know what we're talking about there. But of course he's good. He played college football for 23 years.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, Cam Ward went backwards all the time. I know he did some Patrick Mahomes things, but Shedeur is sneaky athletic. I totally agree with Jay. I saw him get out of so many tackles, and he doesn't want to run downfield. I love what he just said about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud never ran at Ohio State.
Nope.
And it turns out, whoa, he's pretty mobile in the NFL. So I got to give Shedeur the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he is Dion's kid. He's not as fast as Dion, but again, yeah, I'm getting all worked up here. Like, I feel like I have to defend the Sanders honor here. I admit, I agree with Jay. I did underestimate Dion at Colorado in the sense that I know he didn't win a title. I thought it was going to be terrible because they were awful. So I do think there's a little Sanders magic. Is that possible? Have I bought in? Am I a sucker?
There might be Sanders magic, but I'm telling you, Pearl, he's going backwards against Big 12 defenses. It's going to be a lot different when he's going backwards, if he's going backwards against NFL defenses. But let us know what you think at 855-212-4227. Okay, Perloff was on vacation, but yet monitoring the show from afar.
Yeah, didn't like anything that was going on here. Had a lot
Very
of issues.
Upset.
A lot of issues, Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie is at the home studio for today. So I was in Costa Rica for the week. You know, you guys tried to make do without me, but did not do a great job, in my opinion. I'm just going to put it out there because I disagreed with so many things, so many takes. Actually, I guess you did do a great job because I was getting angry internationally at some of these sports opinions that were issued on this show. And Andrew Bogus, who is sitting here, was also not here last week.
Yeah, so I want none of this heat.
Yes, but I got to tell you right now, like, you're going to get mad at some of these takes, too. Like, basically, the two adults in the room were not here, and there were hot takes flying left and right.
You came in fired up about this, and you started to direct the angst at me, and I had to remind you that I was not part of the show last week, and I did sit in the newsroom and probably have some of the same objections that you did.
Yeah, okay, so... Let's play. This is one. This one you might not object to, but this is a take that caught my attention from many miles away. This is Maggie talking about new Chicago Bears coach Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, who hasn't called a coin flip in the NFL, and Mike Vrabel, now the co-betting favorites to win Coach of the Year. Listen, Ben Johnson might be the next, you know, Bill Walsh, and I'll eat my words. This dude hasn't done anything yet. He's going to a much worse team in the Chicago Bears, who play outside with a quarterback who's got way more influence than you ever will. And we think that this is going to just be snap of the fingers awesome. To think that he's not going to have any growing pains as a head coach, to me, is setting him up to fail. Like, he's going to go through trials and tribulations just like every other first-time guy.
All right, accurate, but... What's Maggie's problem with Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson ran the most creative offense we've seen in forever in Detroit. You didn't know if they were going to run the ball, if they were going to pass, where the run was going to go.
They fell down on purpose.
He's the most creative offensive coordinator in the league. And I don't for one second believe any of that was Dan Campbell. For one second, I don't believe anything that you saw on offense. So he was basically the offensive head coach there, and we saw he was awesome. So I understand. Of course, Maggie's right. He could go through first-year head coach problems, and the Bears are doomed at quarterback, but I still feel like this is an unnecessary shot at a promising coaching prospect. And of course, he could be a bust, but I still think, like, wow, the Bears really won this coaching carousel by far.
They got the guy everybody wanted, and I think, if I remember correctly, Maggie really didn't like the fake fall down play.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's still lingering here, holding it against Ben Johnson.
You know that Ben Johnson, the report was he wanted to actually have Goff fumble the ball.
Right.
And then pick it up and throw along, which is kind of awesome. As someone who's just a huge fan of trick plays in the Andy Reid thing. So I was sitting there on the beach sipping a virgin pina colada. Because I'm a little girl. No, I'm just
Now, in Maggie's defense, and I guess the show's defense... You were too still connected to us. Like, you really didn't break away on vacation. Like, we were in the group text, and then all of a sudden you respond first to things. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, I should have. Oh, that was a mistake. I know, that was kind of lame. But you guys, the group text was making me even more mad. What was the thing in the group text that was infuriating me?
Well, the one time you didn't realize it was the group text. You thought it was just you and Maggie. And you started asking about congestion pricing. And I responded. You're like, everyone's here.
Oh, right. Did you see when I left the thread? Was that noticed by anyone?
Not by me.
No, I don't. I think went unnoticed. I saw it, but I made no comment about it.
Oh, yeah. What was it? You guys were talking about something that was so annoying to me. It was maybe the Knicks. I can't even remember, but I was like...
Probably the Knicks.
I actually thought I was like, I'm like, maybe I don't come back because this is... maybe I stay in Costa Rica, except the sunburn would have been too much. Anyway, it's great to be back, and Maggie is in the home studio today. She'll be connecting shortly, but luckily for us, we have Andrew Bogus. I didn't even know you were off last week. Nobody tells me anything.
As per usual,
yes.
You're paying no attention to me.
Yes, but I
appreciate that. I really do.
And I guess it was a big hockey week last week, too, and you are our resident hockey expert, and you missed all that.
So I think that might have been where I shared your sentiment from afar, because there was a hockey conversation on the show the morning after the Four Nations face-off, and I didn't necessarily agree with a couple of things they were talking about, Matt and AJ.
All right, well,
that's when I left that chat.
All right, what do you got today?
I got headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Now, I'm coming back, as you just said, from a week not here. So I want to return by making a pseudo-apology to Manny and to EJ, who's not here this morning. The Knicks. I like to give them a lot of crap. They are a good basketball team. I can finally say that out loud. They're good as long as they're not playing another good basketball team.
Tatum, pull up three in transition. Good night. 7-point Boston lead there, blowing the Knicks out again.
Again, Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, Celtics Radio. Boston was nice enough to let the Knicks pull within six before winning 118-105 yesterday in Beantown. Tom Thibodeau's club is now 0-3 against the Celtics this season.
Cut it down to four. Probably a combination of things. One, they're elite, so, you know, and I think the volume 3-point shooting teams, you can do a good job, but it just takes 2 or 3 minutes of, you know, not getting it right, and they can go on a run on you.
6-4, they lost by 13, which is not losing by 37 two nights before to the Cavaliers. So they are 0-5 combined as the two top teams in the East, plus they have a 25-point loss to the Thunder.
Have you ever seen a more textbook definition of pretenders? I mean, it's actually pathetic.
The Knicks?
Yes.
Knicks.
Yes, my Knicks. Absolute pretenders. They look absolutely pathetic. Look, anybody can beat the Charlotte Hornets and the Brooklyn Nets and all these other teams. But when it comes down to the top teams in your conference, forget the Eastern Conference. You can't beat the Thunder either. These are the top teams in the NBA. And you can't beat them?
Those are your actual 2025 number one in defensive rating, Brooklyn Nets.
Well, congratulations. You're half a game back of the play-in.
Wait. I don't understand. I'm being genuine because I'm a Sixers fan. We're a disaster. But I thought the Knicks, because they play good defense, are supposed to play good defense under Tom Thibodeau, they would be good against these good teams. What is going on with this team?
That identity, that defensive identity is completely gone. And it stinks because it's a Tom Thibodeau defense. And then you take a look at Karl Anthony Towns out on the perimeter. He can't do anything.
The last time I saw Manny last week, he had his chest all puffed out because the Knicks beat the Bulls by two in overtime without Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
By the way.
And they got hammered by the Cavs and Celtics.
Just to give you a little insight on Manny. Manny is a idiot savant at naming stadiums. And the reason I left the text thread is because Maggie and Manny and EJ, who's also not here today, had this long conversation about renaming the Rocket Arena. Is that
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is now Rocket Arena in Cleveland. That was known as the Gund Arena back when I was a baby.
Yeah.
That was at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I assumed everybody was drunk because why you were discussing the name of the and excitedly discussing this. I'm like, I got to get out of this or I'm going to ruin my vacation.
You didn't like my naughty joke in response to that?
I might not have heard it because I left the conversation. What did you say?
I don't know anymore if I'm allowed to say this. It was one of the words that was said on the show late last week that threw Maggie and EJ for a loop.
I got an idea where you're going.
Used it because JJ Redick used it, and then no one was sure if they should use it on the radio. So I used it in the text thread to compliment Dan Gilbert for changing the name to Rocket, whatever it is now. Arena.
Yeah, no, he's gone. He's not in that chat. I just found that text. He's not in that.
Well, you need him to come back in. That's the show thread.
I don't know. It's a TBD.
Wait, I'm sorry. Am I back? Can you guys hear me?
Hey, okay. Maggie, what's
all
up?
Right. Oh, hey. I'm sorry. Just
Maggie's
a little.
Join the show.
Just had to head down to my basement in my my garage in New Jersey to check on my modem. But I just want to say one thing. Yes, JJ Redick and also, was it Ray Ferrara used the word glazing, right?
There
and I
is.
Think they didn't know the definition. And Bogush, when I tell you, you were ready to drop that. We could have been talking about a kid's bake sale and you would have dropped that.
Oh, no.
You just were ready to go.
Wow.
You found the opportunity. You shoehorned it in. You were waiting to use glazing, dude. Well, that's you had it all planned out.
I will not accept shoehorn. It fit. I did not force that in there. I thought that was a good use of a very topical joke.
Well, I know that you were getting glazing in come hell or high water. But you know what? Here's the thing. Are we normalizing this word now? I don't think it means I think the J.J. Reddicks of the world and the Ray Ferraras are making it mean something different.
Well, when Ray threw me for a loop when he said, I heard that one live, and I'm like, oh, wait, we can say that now? Like in regular conversations on national TV?
Nine million people watch that hockey game. It's out there, man. Pearl, this is what you missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Maggie, thoughts? You're a very nice person. Even you, I mean, did you want to say something mean to Manny when he's... like, you were in on the Houston arena name. Like, who cares? What's going on?
Cleveland.
You had nothing going on a Friday night. You have a family.
Yeah, exactly, which is why I have nothing to do on a Friday. If I didn't have the family, I'd be out.
Okay, all right. But to engage Manny in this, like, we can't encourage him to get more in-depth on stadium names. Like, there's more to talk about in sports besides what the, what Creighton Stadium Arena play at. What is it, Manny?
You know, I'm not good at college. You know what? Probably Pfizer Forum, actually, because that's... It's in Milwaukee, right?
No, Creighton plays in Omaha.
No, that's Marquette, yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, sorry.
The funniest part about this bit about Manny knowing all the arena names is that he doesn't actually know all the arena names. It's the best part of this whole thing.
He does know all the pro
names. The Shai Health Center, Omaha.
Boom.
You know all the pro names.
I know, yeah.
That's not
congrats.
A compliment.
Congrats. Like, what? Is that a skill?
Where do the Nuggets play?
Ball Arena.
Yeah, nobody else knows that, Maggie. That is a huge skill.
Used to be Pepsi Center.
It's probably the only skill we have as a show right
now. The only skill I have.
Manny also knows all the state capitals. I don't know what I'm least impressed by.
I call that a superpower in my book.
No, we love you. Sorry, folks, I interrupted.
Let me get back to the NBA for a second. Aforementioned Cavaliers topped the Grizzlies 129-123. The Thunder outscored the T-Wolves 130-123. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 37 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. And the Suns lost in Toronto 127-109. Despite 61 combined points from Booker and Beal, Phoenix has now dropped 5 of 6.
Yeesh.
On ice in D.C., a huge jump towards history yesterday afternoon.
2:40 to go in the third period. And a puck that comes to Ovechkin. He scores! He did it! He did it! It's a hat trick for Ovechkin! Ty Emberson's stick broke on the center point shot attempt. And Ovechkin with a hat trick. It's 882.
882 career goals now after those three for Alex Ovechkin. The hat trick in a 7-3 rout of the Oilers. Ovi now needs just 13 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time.
Is he going to do this in like 5 games? I mean, what is going on?
I mean, he's going to do it before St. Patrick's Day.
Amazing.
NFL retirement yesterday. Safety Keanu Neal calling it a career after 8 seasons. He was the Falcons' first-round pick back in 2016, made the Pro Bowl the following season. All eyes last night on the LA Galaxy lifting their latest MLS Cup banner, but the expansion San Diego FC ruined everything with a 2-0 win.
Chucky Lozano! Mexican soccer player on San Diego.
And a WNBA trade yesterday, the Washington Mystics sending two-time All-Star guard Ariel Atkins to the Chicago Sky for the 3rd pick in the upcoming draft. EJ, whoever wants it, Manny, take it. I don't care.
Wait,
Pearl?
I have so many more issues from last week, too. The Ben Johnson one was just the tip of the iceberg. The great debate last week literally infuriated me while I was sitting under an umbrella watching the ocean come in. I almost wanted to call in. It was that bad. We have a lot of things that upset me. We're going to get to that next right here, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. If you're an NBA fan and you follow the way the NBA is covered, I think you're going to need a neck brace for whiplash around the Luka Doncic takes. I saw Mr. Stephen A. Smith, Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I saw him say the Lakers have no chance with Luka about 4 days ago. And then I saw him come on TV last night after Luka destroyed the Nuggets on Saturday night and say, well, you know, the Lakers could easily win the title. So I have a question. Who is Luka Doncic on this Lakers team? Is he the guy who absolutely destroyed single-handedly the Nuggets in primetime on Saturday night? Is that the real Lakers now? Or is this an aberration? Like, I'm very confused by this entire situation. 32 points, Lakers finally beat the Nuggets, who've been their nemesis, and Luka looked amazing in every possible way. But again, like, can I trust that that's going to be there every night?
I don't think so. I think this is going to be part of the Luka experience. You know, it was amazing because you're right. And Stephen A. wasn't the only one who was burying him. You know, we were saying last week that he's tugging on his shorts. He looks really winded, couldn't play the back-to-back while LeBron is out there doing crazy things. And, man, not saying that Nico was right. Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavericks who traded him away, will never say that Nico was right, but man, was it looking a little dicey. Here's the thing, right? Luka, somehow in high altitude, which you always say is harder to have these kind of games, the 32 points, the 10 rebounds, the 7 assists, he was incredible. I don't know how you could think you're going to get that every night, though. And this is what you're betting on, though, if you're the Lakers, that come playoff time, that's when you're going to get more of these type performances, and like ultimately that will be the only thing that matters. But to anyone who says that you're going to get this every single night from Luka Doncic, like you can't say that with a straight face considering what we've seen this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. He felt more like the Mavs' Luka Doncic, where he came to L.A., and I think he was probably deferring a lot to LeBron and everybody else on the Lakers. Felt like he was like, okay, I'm going to be the man here. Maybe that's what he's missing. Like, maybe he came and said, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to move the ball more. Maybe they need Luka to be the same guy who was in the Mavs and LeBron is the wingman. Does that make sense?
Yeah, listen, maybe LeBron had to have a conversation with him like Dwayne Wade had a conversation with LeBron once upon a time when they all teamed up with the Miami Heat. Now, listen, if that conversation happened, don't worry, we're all going to know about it. Like, it's going to become news. LeBron will get it out there that he's being the unselfish guy because, you know, this is LeBron and he's got to get all the positive headlines. We know that about him all these years into his career. But maybe that conversation did happen, or maybe J.J. Redick, you know, who is somebody who we've poked a lot of fun at, who we did not think was going to have a really successful tenure here with the Lakers, maybe he is pushing the right buttons and has the right relationship with Luka where he can tell him, listen, you're the guy now, and this is the type of performance we need. But, Pearl, weren't you just shocked? We're talking about conditioning and Luka's conditioning, yet he goes to Denver, which is one of the true home court advantages that you have in the NBA, and he's able to look like Superman.
Well, I don't know. I feel like that higher altitude stuff is a little bit overblown. I mean, you've been to Denver. Is it that ridiculous? Like, I've gone running in Colorado, and it doesn't kill me. Of course, I'm in tip-top athletic shape.
Peak physical condition. I went to Denver, had one beer, and lost my wallet. I mean, the altitude definitely affects people, but it seems like not Luka.
Well, Luka's played there a million times. I hear you. And he played 31 minutes. He finally hit his three-point shots. That's the thing with Luka. Luka looks amazing when he hits his threes, or at least some of his threes, but he'll go 1 for 9, and he'll do it tomorrow or whenever they play next. Like, you never know. He's so hot and cold from outside. But the thing about Luka that I will give him, a lot of times in the playoffs, he hits those three-pointers. So I think that might have been a preview for the playoffs, because it feels like the Lakers or the Nuggets play every year in the playoffs. If he gets hot from outside, like, oh man, they're really tough to stop. Here's the other thing too. What's the weakness of the Lakers? They have no interior defense. I heard Brian Windhorst on ESPN say they are leading the league in defense the last 18 games without Anthony Davis for most of that time. So they have a good perimeter defense that is making up for their lack of center. So what if J.J. Redick is really good? I have some bad freezing cold takes on J.J. Redick as a coach, because not only did Lucas play well, they held the Nuggets at home to 100 points. That's a scary little formula right there. If they can play defense and Luka shows up on offense, I am all of a sudden getting nervous.
That's funny. If you hold a team to 100 points, does that mean you played great defense?
Oh, my God. The Nuggets at home in the NBA today? That's really good. No?
I don't know. It's just not something you usually hear. If you hold a team to, like, 85, you know, in the NBA, it's like, oh, wow, that was good defense. But I'm with you on the JJ thing. You know, we might all end up owing him a really big apology if he figures this thing out. Maybe we should have been listening to the podcast and taking notes on the horns down and all that stuff.
God.
Because
no,
he knows what he's apparently he knows what he's talking about. And it's more than that, though. In the NBA, every coach who gets to that level clearly knows all the X's and O's you could possibly know. It's the other part too. And I'm wondering, is this more JJ Redick about the buy-in and chemistry and all that? Or is it the shock value and the wake-up call that it put to LeBron and Luka, and how much it shakes up an organization when a trade like this happens? And, you know, we thought that Luka maybe was still a little rattled even a few days after the fact. Maybe he's settling in now, and if that's what it looks like, it is pretty scary.
But, I mean, they just lost to the Hornets, so let's not.
Oh, they lost to the Hornets. They lost to the Jazz. Yeah, it looked bad.
Well, that's the funny thing, too. So they beat the Nuggets 123-100. And I hate to do this because this is what we do for a living, but I feel like NBA narratives are a little ridiculous right now, because when a team is losing, and I watched the games yesterday, the primetime games, when a team is losing, they seem to give up in the era of load management. So I felt like even the Nuggets, like, yeah, they killed the Nuggets, but every game feels a little lopsided to me. Like, I was watching some games last night, and once you're down 20 in the fourth quarter, it's just like you start mailing it in. So I'm not sure. Like, does this mean if you beat someone decisively, does that mean it's going to happen the next night? To me, the way I'm seeing the NBA this year is this doesn't guarantee anything for the Lakers.
Well, you know what's tomorrow night, right?
Oh, yeah. Poor Mavs.
Lakers.
Poor Mavs.
Playing the Mavs. I know. Mavs are shorthanded, so this game is going to be in L.A. Mavs coming to town, and I have to imagine Luka's got something in store. I mean, if we thought that the Nuggets game was good, this is going to have to be like, not a Picasso moment, but I imagine as much as athletes say they don't care and they don't hold this resentment about teams that traded him, we know it's all BS. He definitely will. He's going to be absolutely motivated to embarrass his former team.
Right, but you know what? That situation sometimes backfires. If you want to come out, will he shoot too much, or will he try and do too much, or be too fancy or something? You know, Luka does like those Larry Bird passes. Is he going to try and put on a Harlem Globetrotters show against the Washington Wizards?
I don't know. 855-212-4227. Laker fans, if you're starting to feel a little confident, can understand why. And that's not the only trade that looks like it's obviously starting to work out. Perloff, I know you were watching a bit of the Warriors yesterday afternoon. Big win over those Mavs, those shorthanded Mavs. And Jimmy Butler now looks like he could have been that missing piece for Golden State.
Oh, he looks really good. I had a little side bet with our producer, EJ Stewart. I thought the Kings were going to be really good after they got Valanciunas and all these guys, and the Warriors just humbled them. They are all of a sudden dangerous. The West is crazy, Maggie. I mean, it feels like we have the Warriors looming and the Lakers looming. I take them very seriously with Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry just looks like he hasn't aged either. All of a sudden, the Western Conference is like, it's like, you know, one of those, you can play video games where you put teams from different eras against each other. Like you have the 2020 Lakers and the 2022 Warriors and the Nuggets. And like, there's all these amazing older players. It really is a crazy conference. And ironically, the best team is in the East in the Celtics, and the second best team is the Cavs probably. But still, the West is just now very, very interesting. Do you think the whole complexion has changed since the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think the Warriors and the Lakers are making this very, very beyond interesting. I think that there's like a different kind of motivation with these teams, you know? And it's something that, you know, if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, your motivation is a totally different type of thing, right? You're a young team that's trying to establish themselves. The Cavs, same thing. Young team, you know, guys haven't won yet, all of that. The motivation for these old heads, and I'm not saying Luka's old, I'm saying for Jimmy Butler or Steph Curry, for these guys, and then for LeBron on the Lakers, like, I'm curious, like, what wins out? Is it, like, young, hungry, you know, guys who have never done it before? Is that what ends up being the final, like, who's standing tall? Or is it the dudes who are kind of on their, like, giving it the last ride, like the last hurrah? And I'm not saying that Steph and LeBron are going to retire necessarily after the season, but it might be tempting to retire on a championship, possibly, if either of them could win it.
Oh, first of all, LeBron's not retiring ever. It's never. He's playing till he's 63 years old. And Steph, I don't think. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't think Steph's anywhere. He's playing so well right now. It feels weird. His game will age very well because I know you don't like this take, but he's not super athletic to start with. He's not.
That's
like
always funny to hear you say that.
Well, right, but he's not like a fast guy or a jumper guy like Anthony Edwards or something. Like, that's what when I say he's not athletic, I mean he's not dunking on guys' heads. Like, you know how Vince Carter lost his athleticism and never dunked late in his career? Curry never dunked early in his career, so that won't go away. That's interesting. Would they walk away with a title? Yeah, that would be nice. I think the funny thing is we're underestimating the Thunder have been so good. It almost feels like Jimmy Butler and Luka are stealing all the attention away, and they're still the dominant team.
855-212-4227. Luka looking great with the Lakers, and then you have Jimmy Butler fitting in seamlessly with the Warriors. I have to wonder, when something like what happens with Golden State yesterday happens, does Steph Curry start to pause? Like, they retired Andre Iguodala's jersey yesterday. Like, that was his contemporary. Like, the fact that he's still playing and they were winning titles together, or at least a title together, right? Maybe two with the Iguodala, I can't remember. But that has to be a little crazy, like, for
that
Steph to watch.
No, that is weird. When these guys' kids are coming in. When Bronny's in the NBA, for God's sake.
So weird. All right, coming up next, we'll check in on one future Hall of Fame quarterback. What's next for him?
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.